Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, and welcome to Trolley Watch. My name is Amy Sinclair, and I'm joined by the wonderful Barbara Northwood. Can I sing Barbara Northwood?
Super job.
Our wonderful food editor. Have you ever been introduced like
never,
that before?
Never.
Has anyone ever sung your
never.
Name? I'm going to do it from now on. Trolley Watch, of course, is your go-to podcast for singing, supermarket tricks and tips, what you need to buy when you're doing your weekly shop and how to make the most of your food every single week. This week we've got some pretty exciting things. Barbara's going to tell us how to make the perfect fried rice. Hello.
Yeah.
It's not going to be gluggy or stodgy, is it, Barbara?
No, never, never.
We're going to tell you the best new gadgets on the market, which we're very excited about. Barbara's going to give us a masterclass on cake making. Bakers, you're going to need to listen to this. And our last segment, not this again, Mum. Horrible dishes that we had to eat growing up. We all had those dinners. I bet you
yes,
got a few, Barb.
I certainly did.
Shockers. We're going to get cracking, though, with Best in Aisle, which is how we start every episode every week, where we compare several of the same products in supermarkets and tell you which Barb thinks is the best across the board.
Because it's the best in aisle.
This week, it's a big one, Barb, because who doesn't have this in their pantry every single day of the week?
Yep.
Bread.
Totally, totally, yep.
We're talking sliced bread and specifically
it's white
sliced
bread.
Sliced white bread. So how many varieties are on shelves?
Yeah.
You
about
don't realize 385,000.
Exactly.
There are so many different price points. There is so much choice. We have tested five different brands. Was it five, Barb, or six?
No,
I'm lying.
We've got six, Amy.
We've got six from Aldi, Coles, Woolies, and also IGA. And we went through them. We tasted each one. And we gave us our pick. Now, we're going to get cracking. We're going to start off with the Aldi brand, the Baker's Life White Sandwich Bread. You get 22 slices, which is 650 grams for $1.29. That's a cheap loaf of bread, isn't it, Barb?
It's so cheap.
What did you think, Barb?
I thought they were very thin slices, to be honest. I thought it was a little bit doughy, but it had a very soft crumb. And that soft crumb can end up quite doughy to me.
Yeah. And
it was just a white bread.
Yeah.
I'd be relying on a great filling in that sandwich.
Yeah. And, you know, I have bought Aldi white bread over the years, and I think it's quite good on the day that you buy it, but
yes,
it really deteriorates quite quickly.
Yes.
Like I find when some good bread, you can get like a,
yeah,
you know, you don't really
notice.
They
don't have the preservatives in it, so it's probably,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty much a basic bread. Yes.
Next up we tried the Coles brand white sandwich bread where you get 22 slices again for $1.30. So only 1 cent more than Aldi, which is pretty much the same.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But actually it tasted very much the same.
Didn't it?
Yeah. If anything, I thought the Coles was a little bit more salty.
Yeah, it was actually. When you tasted them, it's a bit like a few of the foods that we've tried, guys, that you wouldn't think there's much of a difference. But when you taste them one after another, it's not just the experience of whether it's doughy or fluffy or dry or whatever. It's also the taste can be very different.
Yeah, very much so.
It really was much saltier, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they're quite a small square.
Yeah.
Like for a sandwich, you probably need three of those if you were making sandwiches for the kids maybe.
But again, $1.30.
Very cheap.
Hard to go wrong. Next up, we did the Woolworths soft white sandwich bread, 20 slices, so two slices less, so a bit thicker maybe, 650 grams again for $1.60, so a little more expensive, 30 cents more expensive. But what did you think of this one, Barb?
Look, I didn't mind this one at all.
It was definitely better than Coles and Aldi, wasn't it? Yeah.
Plus it had 3 grams of fiber per serve.
Now, guys, this is something that I learnt while I was bread taste testing with Barb yesterday, is that she's all over the fibre content. And as she pointed out, if you've got kids and you're looking to put a bit more fibre into their diet, it's an easy way, isn't it, Barb?
Oh, totally, yeah.
And there were huge differences, weren't there, between the loaves of bread. And we might get to that later.
So.
But, the Woolies loaf had a high content of fibre, didn't
it? Exactly. And, you know, for $1.60.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good value.
Next up, we had the Abbott's Village Bakery rustic white loaf. So it's kind of a fancier loaf.
Yeah.
Only 16 slices, but it's definitely on the thicker side, and 700 grams for $3.80. We bought this one from Woolies. Yeah. What did you think of this one, Barb?
I like the size of it. It was a little bit on the thicker side, but really not a lot of flavour. And it was white rustic bread, it was just pretty ordinary.
It's a bit dry.
Plus,
I've written down meh, as yeah, my 13-year-old would say, meh.
Yeah, it just didn't have a lot going for it. And only 2 grams of fibre per serve compared to the
Woolies had 3.4, am I right?
Three.
Yep. So a big difference there.
Yeah.
Next up, we had the Helga's traditional white bread, 16 slices, again on the thick size, 750 grams for $3.90 from Woolies again. What did you think of this one, Bob?
I liked it. Yeah, it was quite fluffy. Good size for a sandwich, 3.4 grams of fibre. Fibre per serve.
So that's a lot of
make fiber. A really nice sandwich. Yeah, it had a bit of flavour to it for a white bread. It was quite good. Yep. I liked it.
Last but not least, we had the IGA Baker's Oven White Sandwich Bread, 20 slices, 650 grams for $2. What did you think of this one, Bart?
It was fluffy, good flavour, a nice size for a sandwich. Yeah. It was a good bread and 1.4 grams of fibre.
So not as much as your others.
No, exactly.
But more than the cheaper brands, Mark,
Yeah.
Barb, this is a big field that you had to play with. It was a hard choice. On price point, is it really worth spending an extra, more than double the price?
Exactly, yeah.
And that was a big thing for you, wasn't it? Very much when you were deciphering.
Yeah.
Barb, hit me with it. What wins the golden trolley?
Woolworths soft white sandwich bread. 650 grams, $1.60, 3 grams of fibre.
Because as you said, it's a good way to get it into people's diets, especially kids, without them really knowing. And as we said, it was cheap but certainly flavoursome.
Yeah.
Woolies, you got the big golden trolley. All right, Barb, time for segment two, our new segment, Cooking 101 with Barb. Barb, this week, who hasn't made this in their life and who has had failures? I'm putting up my hand, guys. How to make the best fried rice.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the Chinese takeaway, do you, Barb?
No.
It's easy to do at home, and I find the thing with – it's a good way to use up bits and bobs.
Yeah, the leftovers.
In lots your of veggies. Fridge. And it's an easy kind of, what am I going to cook for dinner?
Yeah, perfect.
Often you've got everything you need.
Exactly. Or a good Sunday night supper.
Oh, Barb, knocking it out of the park. But – it can be hard to get right. It can be stodgy. It can be clumpy. It can be a bit
tasteless.
Tasteless.
Yeah.
Glad that you found the right word to use there, Barb. Barb, tell us your top tips. How do we make the best fried rice?
You can use long grain rice or brown rice actually fries up really well.
Yep.
And even a medium grain, never the short grain rice.
Oh, that's
the one that goes like in sticks together. But the trick again is to cook it the day before. So you really need to steam or boil it the day before. You drain it well, spread it out in a large tray, cover with absorbent kitchen paper and leave it in the fridge because what you want to do is dry out. So if you cover it, all the moisture and the condensation just keeps recycles and drips back on it. You want it to be dry grains and that's what keeps it separate when you actually fry it.
You fry it up.
Yeah.
Is there something you can do if you just don't have the time, Barb? If you haven't done it the day before, is there anything that you can do? The microwave rice isn't too bad.
Do you know what I've read is a good hack?
Yep.
To actually get your hair dryer.
Oh.
So you spread it out in a tray, get the hair dryer, and you dry it out.
That's a great idea.
You're just absorbing that moisture. That's what you're trying to get rid of.
I've heard people doing that with pork skin.
Well, there you go. And it works with rice. It actually does.
Love that.
And you can't really leave rice out, for several hours because it can ferment. It can ferment and then kill you. So you've got to be very careful with rice.
Mom, calm down. We're not killing people with rice. It's true though, isn't it?
Because
bacteria gets into it. That's when you can get very, very sick. It's like people might not refrigerate it thinking that it's not sort of
I don't need to sort of thing. No,
people, put it in the fridge. What next, Barb?
Then you prepare all your ingredients and make sure they're the same size. Again, really important if you're going to add those. Spring onions, garlic, bit of bacon's lovely, bit of egg. You like making an egg omelette and you roll it up and you cut it into thin slices fork that through, which is really lovely.
Yep.
Make sure the wok or frying pan, you don't need a wok, yep. is really hot before you start.
Right.
So it's well heated, tablespoon of vegetable oil or peanut oil, and then you make your omelette first, take it out of the pan. So you've got your egg ready, that's the first one. And then you wipe that clean, and then you can add another tablespoon of oil and add some garlic, ginger, spring onion.
Yum.
Stir fry those with the bacon. If you're going to add peas, and you, normally they're frozen peas, so I'd add them at that stage because they're quite hard. So another 2 to 3 minutes stir frying that. Then you return the rice. Once the rice goes in, you can add the egg and a little oyster sauce, a little bit of soy sauce, a few drops of sesame oil, and then stir fry. But you don't need a lot of liquid.
You don't need a lot of liquid,
no,
do you?
No,
a little bit goes a long way, I find.
And lots of stir frying. But having that pan lovely and hot because the rice gets a nice coating on it. And
I'm feeling really hungry. Yeah,
like that smells
good. When you talk it through, Barb, I literally just think, oh, I could do. I've
do
gorged
the bowl
myself
right now.
I've gorged myself on chocolate, but really I could do with a bit of
fried rice.
Fried rice. Yeah. I'm going to have a treat, bit of chilli.
Yeah.
Barb, I love it. Give me your top three tips right there.
Refrigerate it overnight. Most important. Make sure that rice is really dry. Make sure your wok is really hot and have the vegetables all the same size.
Amazing. Thanks, Barb. We're off to cook some fried rice.
Thanks, Amy.
Mark, segment three, gadget watch. We all love a good kitchen gadget, am I right?
Oh, totally.
I reckon you'd have like just buckets, like cupboards full of gadgets.
Amy, I do. Drawers and cupboards full.
Drawers and cupboards, yeah. I bet you do. Yeah. You just love it, don't you, Barb?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a gadget girl.
But there are always new things coming out in the market. It's hard to know what's good. It's hard to know what's crap, let's be honest.
Yes.
But we're going to cut through the mess and you're going to give us your top three gadgets that are rocking our world at the moment. What's number one, Barb?
The number one, I guess, would be a handheld mandolin.
If you love this, don't you, Barb? It's an Oxo brand one, isn't it?
It's a little hand one. Yeah. And it has a little hand guard. And you just can grate garlic, capsicum, onions, mushrooms. And what I love about it, it's so thin. It's great for a pizza topping.
Honestly,
one mushroom can cover a pizza.
Don't you find that?
It cooks beautifully so you don't have soggy. You don't have soggy
base.
Yeah, things like that. I find it really good for salads, celery, as I said, capsicum. I do really like it. It has three little grades of being able to have the thicknesses.
And when you have the actual mandolin machine, which I have at home, they can be a bit scary, can't they, Barb? Like, you know, you're a bit scared, like, you know.
I know.
Washing it, but also like that you're going to slice
your hand.
You have
to be very careful, respectful of it, I guess.
My mum had to have her mandolin taken off her because she just had one too many accidents.
Yeah.
She's a shocker.
Yeah.
Love her, but she's a shocker with her.
Yeah, you do need that hand guard though. And the little hand one is just easier to rinse and dry.
Well, you can rinse it off and put it in.
Yeah.
It's always there.
I do use that a lot. Yeah.
What's your number two, Barb?
The other one was this little Kmart chopper.
Everyone's talking about this on social media at the moment, aren't they, Barb? This is a $7 chopper.
Yes.
You pile in your stuff and you give it a – talk us through it.
And it's called a pull chopper. So it comes in small. There's a small one with three blades and then there's a larger one with five blades.
Oh.
So two sizes, perfect for herbs.
Yeah.
It did it so beautifully and evenly compared to a food processor, which tends to bruise it and all the moisture comes out and it gets quite dark in colour. Honestly, chopped it beautifully.
And if you've got like a – if you're doing a soup or if you're doing well, you've got a – you know, that's what I think with soups. Like I've got to do so many vegetables. But if you just pile it all there and you pull it a couple of times.
It's like a lettuce spinner.
It really
is. Like that. It's the same little cord, same action. It was great to rinse and clean, dry, took up no room in the cupboard at all. The only thing it didn't chop for us, and maybe we didn't put in small enough pieces, was carrot.
Yeah.
They're quite hard. But look, perfect for breadcrumbs. Again, you just want some breadcrumbs, you're making some meat patties or, again, like I said, I could actually imagine making tabbouleh in this because that chopper, it did the parsley so perfectly. Every piece came out the same size.
Sometimes you don't want to pull out your food processor. That's
no,
what I always
exactly.
find.
I
you
agree
pull
with
out
you.
Your food processor, you got to.
If it's too hard, you won't use it.
You won't use it. Yeah. Whereas with this, it's literally, you know, have to attach to any, you know, it's not electrical.
For $7.
I was going to say, Barb, tell us the price,
$7.
Son. That's the best part, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Can't even get lunch for that, can you?
We can, but you know.
It's a cheap gadget. It's a good one. The last one, Barb, this is my favourite Barb gadget that I've heard of.
Well, it's a potato masher, an electric potato masher.
I've never heard an electric potato masher before.
Yeah, but they're obviously, they've probably been around for a few years now. But there's a really nice one called a masher from the Barmix shop.
Oh.
And again, that comes with different blades. So you can have your creamy mash or a firmer mash. There's no lumps in it. It's just different grades of
how long
you can
mash
it.
How does it work, Barb? How do you use it? Do you pile in
Put the potatoes in. So it's like a stick mixer.
Right.
So you just put it into the pot or the saucepan or if you cook the sweet potato or potato.
So I was imagining it was like a mincer and it went through. No, it's actually
all handheld. And you take the bottom off, rinse that under the tap. Let that dry and just put it back in the cupboard again.
That'd make
but
mash
it's really
so
good.
Easy, wouldn't
Honestly,
it?
Honestly, it does. When you're standing there pushing them through a morley and, 20 minutes later you've done the potato, this is done in about 5 minutes.
And that's what it's all about,
it's
isn't it, Barb?
Yes,
it
that's
is
a good
cutting your time in
yes.
half
and
or
you will
a quarter,
use it.
And
it works.
Use it.
Yeah, I love that one.
Oh, I'm so going to get my mum an electric. I've seen,
she'd love it, Amy.
She
it's
would.
So good.
There you go, guys. The three things you need to buy, as per Barb, your hand mandolin, your Kmart $7 chopper, and an electric masher. Sign me up. This is a cracker. And this is a big one for all the bakers out there because if there's one thing you want to know, it's you want to keep having knowledge to make yourself a great baker. Barb's Cake Masterpiece. Top tips on cake baking.
Yep.
Barb, I'm not a good baker. I'm not a good cake maker, so I'm going to be absolutely jotting down everything you say here. But even if you are good, it's always good to learn new stuff.
Oh, totally.
How many cakes have you cooked in your time, Barb? 3 million,
I think something like that. Yeah. But you see, cakes are a science and you can't sort of muck around with them too much.
Yes.
You need the right ratio of ingredients. And I think some people that have spoken to me about different,
problems that they've had.
Well, they've made some of our recipes. A lady said she'd made the scones, the pumpkin scones, and they were a bit overcooked. She thought they were dry. And when I quizzed her, she'd made 18 of them. She didn't want to make the 12, so she made them smaller but cooked them for exactly the same amount of time.
And it just doesn't,
work like that.
Yeah. And you're right. It is a whole science. And desserts full stop. It's very difficult to be free and easy. You're doing a stir fry. You're whacking what you want to do.
Exactly. That's
you're
the beauty
a pasta,
of it.
You can be free and easy. When it comes to desserts, there are sciences. And they're the recipes that you guys test over and over and over, isn't it, Barb?
And really you need to buy, if the recipe calls for butter, you can't buy margarine, unless it's a cooking margarine, not the spreadables, because it contains water. So it all breaks down. The cake doesn't work.
And you'll always say in the recipe, won't you?
Yes.
Or
yes.
And,
always
or,
give
or slash
always
if there's an alternative. But
absolutely.
If it's specifically you need to have this, that's
Please
what you're
put
suggesting.
It in. Yes. So, number one.
Very nice. So, number one, hit me with it.
Metric cups and spoons.
Yes.
And measure them completely level at the top. Don't pack it in. You put it in, put the ingredients in, and then run a knife across the top to level it.
Right.
That's your metric, not the old teacup with a broken handle. Have eggs, butter, and milk at room temperature.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because if the milk is cold, if you've creamed your butter and sugar, it curdles.
I didn't know that.
So it looks quite, it will sort of come together with the flour, but it's better to have them at room temperature,
yes.
Really. You beat your butter and sugar, and again, if it calls for brown sugar or caster sugar, please use the right sugar.
Yes.
Because again, you're breaking up that crystal, that will give the cake aerated and make it lighter. That dissolves quite quickly.
Yeah, and when you're beating, it's very important to make sure you've beaten it enough.
Yes, it is creamy.
It
goes pale. So look for the colours. When we say pale and fluffy, make sure it is that. You can't rush it.
Give me a pale comparison. When you say pale, are you talking beige? Are you talking a custard colour?
Pale lemon.
Pale
lemon almost to bordering on. Yeah, creamy.
Yeah, like a creamy colour. Yeah.
Because butter's quite yellow, but it goes a completely different colour once it's beaten up.
What next, Barb?
The cake batter should fill the pan between a half to two-thirds full.
So that's where using the right cake tin is very important, isn't it, Barb?
And people tend to swap them over if they can. But if it's too high, of course, the cake's not cooked in the middle, it all falls over the side, or you need the right pan. If it's more than two-thirds full, change the pan.
Yep. Next up?
Always cook cakes about less than 5 minutes than the recipe said.
I couldn't agree more with that. Yes.
Start looking at 35 because everybody's oven's different.
And there's nothing worse than when it's a little bit dry. I always do that too.
Exactly. If it's undercooked, you can leave it. Once it's overcooked, you know.
I find with cupcakes especially.
Yes.
Like, because they can just go so quickly.
Yeah, 15 to 18 minutes. They're cooked by the minute almost, aren't they? They're
absolutely
changing. Always test with a skewer inserted into the centre. It should come out clean and dry to make sure there's no moisture or cake mixture left on it, even down to the very end of it. So insert it right through to the bottom of the pan. Don't just stick it in 2 inches. Always through. And the cake will shrink slightly away from the side of the pan once it's cooked, which is another good indication
that you've done the right thing. Yes.
As it cooks, it will pop back in again. When you take them out, leave them in the pan for at least 5 to 10 minutes to cool. And that just stabilises so that when you turn it out, you haven't left half the cake back in the tin.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Nothing worse, is there, Barb?
The only one really that should be turned out almost immediately is a sponge. Because it's so light and aerated, they continue to cook in the tin and that can dry it out.
I didn't know that.
Because of the,
So you turn that out straight away.
Yeah. Always
sponges
sponge.
Out straight away.
Yes.
The others, keep
at least
it in
5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, if your cake does sink in the middle, you probably opened the oven door too many times.
What does it mean when my cake sunk in the middle, Barb? What's happened there? What's gone wrong?
Well, you probably haven't cooked it long enough.
Yep.
Because sometimes you can get them out and as it starts to cool, it's sinking, which is you haven't tested it. So if you haven't got a skewer, get a really fine, pointy, sharp knife.
Yep.
Like a thin-bladed knife. That's what I do because that's a really good – you can actually see it.
Yep.
On the knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really people just not beating up, the ingredients correctly, really, or, as I said, not cooking them long enough or trying to get out of the oven too soon, opening the door, keep checking on it. You keep – all the heat keeps going out as you're doing these things.
And is there anything you can do if it has gone past the point? Is there any way you can bring it back if it's too dry, if you've left it in there too long?
No.
No.
I'd make a syrup then. Cut the top off so that you don't see the sinky bit. You get a skewer, poke holes through it. You make a sugar syrup, so some sugar water, and I'd put some lemon in it, lemon juice,
beautiful,
nice lemon syrup. Pour that over the cake while it's warm.
Rescued.
Let it seep into it. I'd turn that out, cover it in cream. Beautiful dessert.
Rescued. It's like disaster into dessert. Am I right?
Totally.
Barb, we love the masterclass.
Thanks, Amy.
Can't wait to go and bake. Tell us your top three tips.
Having ingredients at room temperature, making sure it's cooked when it's supposed to be coming out of the oven, so make sure you test it seriously, and then let that sit in that tin for 5 to 10 minutes so that you don't end up with half the cake left in the tin when you turn them out.
I love it. Thank you, Barb.
No worries, Amy.
Last segment, Barb. I hope my mum's not listening to this one. Di and Dave, they're big listeners. They love Trolley Watch. But this week we are calling this segment Not Again, Mum. The dishes we grew up with that we just can't bear to think of because they've
terrible,
caused traumatic memories for us all. I'm pretty lucky. I grew up with – my mother's a very good cook. She did cook some dishes that I wasn't a huge fan of, which we'll get to in a minute. My grandmother, though, not the good one who wrote the cookbooks. The other one, though, as my mum said, oh, she's just a shocker. And it's true. Barb, talk me through it first. What were some of the horror dishes you had growing up?
Just as a dish, peas.
What?
Peas. They were like bullets. They were like grey bullets. I think she cooked them and they would have been fresh in those days, not frozen. That you couldn't get a fork through them. They were just shocking. 25 minutes in the water.
How long was it until you could eat peas without having a shudder?
When I left home, I couldn't eat them. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And the other thing she cooked was a tapioca pudding.
Oh, Barb.
Do you remember tapioca? It's like sago.
Yeah.
And that was her go-to pudding. And you put milk on it. It was like tasteless, rubby little balls in your mouth. And it was just
like slodge.
Like slodge.
Like porridge. I mean, that's what I'm imagining.
It was like depression food. You think, why she loved it. It was just
no one
awful.
Wants to hear their dish called depression food.
Yeah, so that was a pretty bad one.
As I said, my mum was a very good cook. We always had beautiful food on the table growing up. But my dad loves two things that we just couldn't stomach. And in my house, if you didn't eat it, you weren't a dead bed hungry. There's not a, like in my house where it's, you know, short order chef time and mums at the diner whipping up different variations. But steak and kidney pie.
Yes.
Oh, I cannot stand it. But that we used to have it at least once a week because my dad loved it. And the other one was tripe.
Oh, yes.
Yuck. It was so bad. But we used to have it all the time. And
in white sauce. It was kind of white always sauce. Cooked in a white sauce. And
they used to do some variations later on in my teenage years with like an Italian tomatoey sauce. But no one wants to eat the lining of a sheep stomach. Am I right?
Totally.
No one. It was not my thing. But as I said, my grandmother was not – my mum's mum was bless her cotton socks – was actually a lot like your mum,
yes.
Barb. She didn't like making a mess.
Yeah.
She didn't like, she's the type that would cook her roast in the electric fry pan to save down on mess. And she used to cook her peas, similar pea story, honestly. They're like
I don't know where they got that from.
She used to put her peas on at lunchtime.
But I think my mum did too.
Bicarb soda to
all
keep
her. Would have been green.
Yeah, to that keep her green. They were like literally been cooking for 25 million hours, yes. But they were still green and like just gross. Like the taste of the bicarb was so gross. Well, Barb, there's some horror stories.
Think how good
my kids have it, you know?
I know. But we just had evils put in front of us, so we didn't really have much choice.
It was a very different.
It was a different time.
Different time.
Yeah.
Although there were many nights I went to bed hungry.
Yes.
After steak and kidney pie night and tripe night.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if I gave my daughter tripe. She'd literally pack it. She'd probably call the police and report me.
But it doesn't have a lot of flavour. Yeah. Like, it's actually pretty tasteless.
Yeah.
She probably wouldn't know what she was eating.
Well, you can,
the mushrooms.
It's, like,
it's kind of just chewy.
It's chewy and gross. I don't know what my mum was thinking. It was child abuse. I'm kidding. Thank you for joining me today, Barb. This is another episode of Trolley Watch Done and Dusted. You're going to grab your trolley and head on out of here, aren't you?
Totally.
Hit the shops. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to us where you find all good podcasts and join us at newideafood.com.au or on Facebook, New Idea or Food or Foodiful every week. Thanks, Barb.
Thanks, Amy.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.